You may be seated. We come here this morning to honor the life and legacy of Margaret Bolch. And it's only appropriate that we turn to God's word immediately as we begin this service. Jesus in John 14 told his disciples when they were about ready to experience the loss of Jesus Christ through his death on the cross, just prior to that in the upper room with them, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And you know the way in which I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know the way. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then in Psalm 71, a psalm that I feel reflects the life of Margaret in many ways, we have some selected passages out of Psalm 71. It says, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go, for you are my rock and my fortress. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. God, you have taught me, and to this day I will declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered." Let's pray. Father God, in life you have taught us to rely upon you, and in death you've told us and taught us to lean on you as we rely upon you. So Lord, I pray that you would be very near. You are the God of all compassion who comes and comforts us in our times of trouble. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be proclaimed through the life of Margaret. She is one that for generations to come have memories of your faithfulness to her life, and then just the gentle spirit and the gracious way in which she carried her life. We thank you. We give you honor today for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your folder, you have the obituary that the family has shared with us, and I'm going to read that now as we honor Margaret's life here on earth. Margaret Bernice Bolch was born October 10th, 1919, to Theron Jim and Agnes Nelson Bolch on the Bolch homestead west of Formoso, Kansas, in Jewell County. Margaret went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Friday, August 30th, 2019, at the Cloud County Health Center, Concordia, Kansas, at the age of 99. Margaret grew up on the family farm southeast of Montrose, Kansas, and attended grade school at Rockdale School, District 38. She was an admitted tomboy and enjoyed riding horses, being outside, and playing with her little brother, George. Margaret graduated from Montrose Rural High School in Montrose, Kansas, in 1937. That fall, Margaret was married to Paul D. Morcorkle, and the marriage ended in divorce. During World War II, Margaret lived in Formoso, working as a teller in the First National Bank and as a relief telephone operator for the Formoso Telephone Company. In 1946, she moved to Mankato, Kansas, and took a job with the Southwestern Bell Telephone Company as a switchboard operator. When Southwestern Bell made the change from operator-assisted calling to direct dialing, she transferred to the Beloit office and eventually moving to Concordia in 1964, where she worked until she retired in 1984 after 34 years of service. On most weekends, Margaret traveled from Concordia to her family's farm in Jewell County to assist her aging parents and to visit her brother and his family. Margaret stayed busy and enjoyed her retirement years, taking vacations with friends and family. Always being very active and able, she did her own yard work until she moved to assisted living at the age of 92. Margaret was a community volunteer for over 25 years in the Concordia American Cancer Society, helped organize the door-to-door campaign for the Arthritis Foundation, was an officer and member of the Concordia Business and Professional Women's Club, the Concordia AARP, Mid-Can Telephone Group, Christian Women's Group, and the Montrose Community Club. Margaret also volunteered with the Resource Center in Concordia, the Food Bank, and the Red Cross Blood Mobile. Margaret was a faithful member of the Concordia Wesleyan Church, attending until she moved to assisted living. She was an active member of the Women's Prayer Fellowship Group and remained so after her move in 2012 to the Marquis Place. Margaret quickly became involved in weekly activities. Her favorite were the church services, walking, exercise class, and visiting with others. When she visited her family, she took particular delight in beating her nephews and great-nephews at games of electronic darts, battleship, pool, and any other game that was being played. Margaret especially enjoyed attending the Montrose High School alumni banquet to reminisce with her dear childhood friends, Ruth Holdren and Doris Jean Keeler. Margaret was preceded in death by her stillborn son, her parents, Jim and Agnes Bolch, her brother, George T. Bolch, and his wife, Nadine Stengel Bolch, and two nephews, George T. Bolch Jr. and Larry Dean Bolch. Those who mourn her passing are her nephews and nieces, Barbara, San, and Luke of Puyallup, Washington, Robert Bolch and Jackie of Woodward, Oklahoma, Greg Bolch and Lynette of Woodward, Oklahoma, Janet, Pope, and Larry of Colgate, Oklahoma, I'm sorry, Sherry, Raphael, and Bill of Mustang, Oklahoma, great nephews and nieces, Wesley, San, and Joanne of Washington, Wendy, San of Oregon, Justin, Pope of Oklahoma, Garrett Bolch of Oklahoma, Ryan Bolch, Oklahoma, Brian Pope, Oklahoma, and Hunter Raphael of Oklahoma. Great-great nephews and nieces, Aubrey and Collins Pope, Carson and Cammie Woods, and Theron, Colton, Talon, San, Kersey Bolch, Courtney Reese, and Karen Williams, and many other family members, friends and acquaintances who were blessed to have known Margaret, and not only to have known her, but to be a great model, a great friend, a great example, and someone that I'm sure every one of those names she prayed for on a regular basis. May the Lord bless her memory to our hearts today.
And wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. The precious blood has washed away its stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes you'll fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours like rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, when life spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and Jesus and live.
There are many words that could be said about the life of Margaret, but probably none more moving or inspirational than those that come from the family that she spent a majority of her time with. And I know the family knows this, and I believe Pastor Bob will reference this as well. What you guys share as a family is unique, and it is an inspiration to see how you have loved Margaret and how you have shared memories and how your lives have been blessed through that. And Barbara, her niece, is now going to come and share some family comments.
I'm Barbara Baltzan, Margaret's oldest niece, and I just want to give a few memories about Margaret. So my Aunt Margaret was a force of nature and a contender for best aunt ever. When she was young, she and my dad, her brother, who was not good, okay. She and my dad, her brother, who was 2 years younger, were often at odds to each other. And although she was small, she was a faster runner. It was fortunate that one of their squabbles, Grandma Agnes, looked out the big window and she saw George chasing Margaret with a hatchet, out for blood. They fortunately, as they grew older, they were able to bury that hatchet. When we were young, she took us kids, her nieces and nephews, on educational as well as fun outings, which we all loved. Margaret was a telephone operator for 35 years, and in the early years, she was a strong union organizer and supporter to improve working conditions for all telephone operators. She helped me get my first job here in Concordia with the telephone company, known as Ma Bell in those days to most operators. I lived with Margaret for 2 years. She worked the day 6 to 3 shift, and I worked the later rotations. But I would come home to Margaret's house during the evening, and she would have an already prepared supper, and we would eat, talk, and often laugh until we cried. We had a great time. I moved away, but we kept in touch. I'm gonna do this. Over the years, with weekly phone calls and visits when I could come home. She was my second mother with support and loving advice over those many years. Margaret was a force of nature. She was generous with her time and her energy and her money in supporting her church, her community, her many professional organizations, and over the years, many charitable causes. She took to heart, if not me, then who? We were able to keep up our close connection after she moved into the Marquis in 2012, and she would arrange for me to stay in an available room whenever I was able to come into town. Her most favorite places to eat out were Dairy Queen and Joy's Tea House. But if there was a big group of us, we ate at the Buffalo Rome in Mankato and Heaven's here in Concordia. She always insisted on treating us kids. She liked being in the midst of things, and her final year at the Marquis, she served as a liaison between the residents and the staff. As always, she endeavored to make things better and give those who needed a voice. She recently made it clear to Lynette that if she didn't make it for her 100th birthday, we were to go ahead and with the birthday and the family reunion. She prayed that we siblings would support one another when she was gone. So we will carry out Margaret's plan to the best of our abilities and honor her as she travels home to her Heavenly Father. I am so thankful to have had Margaret in my life.
Thank you, Barbara, for those words. We do face this day with thankfulness, faith, and hope because of the life that Margaret lived before us. Her undeniable faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior causes us to view this day and her life through the lens of not just this physical time, almost 100 years in this life, but through the lens of eternity and with a life filled with joy. I am one, and I know I'm not the only one, who just loved to hear Margaret pray. And I remember the last time she prayed publicly in our church. We were at a Thanksgiving banquet a few years ago, and as we opened up that banquet, I asked her if she would pray, and she said, sure. And the thing that I really remember from her prayer is how she would, and I'm not going to do an impression, but how she would, oh God, you know, she would do that. And it just, this past week, I have just, as I prayed, I found myself saying, oh God, to her. Her faith and her prayer life was an expression of her personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion just wasn't something, a creed or something that she thought helped her be a good moral person. It was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The passage I shared at the opening from Psalm 71 reads, I have become a sign to many. One of the versions says, I've been an example to many people. And what is that example? Well, the psalmist goes on to say, that example is, you have been my strength and my refuge. That's the example that Margaret leaves us of love and grace and prayer and hope that Margaret left for those who knew her well. And the psalmist went on to say, as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I do not know how to relate them all. The idea in the original there is, I don't have enough words. I can't come up with enough words about what God has done in his faithfulness to me. Even when I'm old and gray, I will declare your power to the next generation. Isn't that Margaret? Your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens, and you have done great things. Who is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. Now, you'll hear more about Margaret's life and legacy from Pastor Bob, but I have the privilege of sharing the driving force behind the woman of grace that we all knew. And although life, especially in the first half of her life, was not easy as she experienced her share of troubles and trials and loss, Margaret still was able to live with dignity. It was around 1965, after she had transferred with Southwestern Bell Telephone and moved to Concordia, that she recalled a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ. It was while attending revival services that were in town that year that she heard the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It was then that she acknowledged that she was a sinner and that she needed a Savior. She followed that acknowledgement by humbling herself and asked Jesus Christ to forgive her sin and to help her to live a life that would glorify God. Here was a woman whose eternity was changed in her mid-40s as she turned her life over to Jesus. And a generation that followed would be impacted by that life. And as you've already heard, she involved herself in caring and reaching out to others. I mean, as I read her obituary, I said she's lived a life of three or four people, you know, with her acts of good deeds and the things that she has been involved with. We saw it in the way that she did things, but that's only part of the story. For those who knew Margaret well, knew she developed quite a prayer life, praying for her family, for her church, for her pastors, for any needs that came up, for the students of her church, those that she touched through her various volunteer efforts, and for missionaries. One of my earliest memories of Margaret was her involvement in the Wednesday afternoon prayer group that met in the basement of our church offices. She faithfully participated and kept up on current needs, seeking out ways that she could advance the kingdom of Christ through her prayers. Now, there are many good qualities in Margaret's life that we could highlight, and it would be easy to get caught up in all of her goodness and think that's what was special about her. But I think she would be the first to remind us that that's not the case. In fact, her faith in the gospel tells us that. You see, we don't get to heaven. We don't earn God's favor because of the good things that we have done. Our righteous acts cannot atone for our sin. Rather, we are saved by grace through faith, faith in the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. In other words, to make it simple, good works don't get us to heaven. If our good works don't get us to heaven, then the question is, what does? How can anyone get to heaven? Well, the Bible's clear. Our righteous acts could never meet God's standard of perfection, and God cannot tolerate sin. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We needed someone to save us from ourselves. And so there enters Jesus, who took on flesh, fully God and fully human. He lived a sinless life, and then he took our death upon himself. The Bible teaches us that Jesus took our penalty upon himself. He became the sacrificial lamb. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul wrote about it to the church in Ephesus, He said, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You don't work for gifts. It's a gift of God. "Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." So we're saved by faith through grace, but once we're saved by faith, the life of Christ begins to be lived out in our life, and good works follow our relationship with God. It would be tragic for anyone to leave this service today without seriously considering the claims of the one who worked in and through Margaret's life. One day, the Bible teaches us, we'll all stand before the Lord and give an account for the life that we have lived. We will either stand before the Father forgiven and righteous because Jesus is standing beside us as the one who paid the price for our sins, or we will stand before a holy God filled with our own sin and shame and guilt, and it will be required that we pay for our sin through eternal separation from God. This is the gospel that Margaret believed. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." There's a free gift that's offered to everyone, and we just receive what Jesus did in our place by faith. Just prior to the service, I was talking to Greg, and he was talking about how Margaret had just been there for several weeks down in Oklahoma, and they were planning this 100-year birthday party. And in the conversation, he was said, "We have in our house Margaret's room." You know, it's a place. And if there's something that we needed a place in there for Margaret, say, "Well, put that in Margaret's room." And then there was another place at the homestead, and that was referred to as Margaret's room. And as he was talking, I was reminded of the passage of Scripture I'd chosen to start the very service of. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." So Greg, as you were talking about and sharing that story with, I said, it's not just on earth that there's many rooms that we call Margaret's. But when she entered into eternity and her faith was made sight, it probably didn't happen this way, but I like to think of it as, hey, put her in Margaret's room. She'll wait for her family there. Don is going to come and sing another song. How Great Thou Art, you're familiar with the song. It will be a beautiful song, but I want you to pay attention, especially to verse 3, because it made the difference in Margaret's life and everyone that is going to go to heaven. This is the verse that makes the difference. "And when I think that God sent his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died." Why'd he do it? "To take away my sin." So Margaret was able to die in peace, knowing there was Margaret's room in heaven.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you for coming today. Thank you for coming to honor the life of this wonderful woman. A human being cannot do any more for another human being than to show them how to live, how to love God, how to live for God, how to walk the walk, and talk the talk. That was my sister, Margaret. She was my sister in Christ. She was a part of our church family here in Concordia, and I can't tell you how often she talked about, how's this person, how's that person, how are they doing, how are people who were ill. She knew, and she just called them out by name and wanted to know, how are they doing, Bob? And we would talk about the church often and a lot. Margaret was my special friend. Yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, I visit people. Yes, I do funerals. Yes, but Margaret was so much more to me than just a parishioner. She was a big part of my life. She was a blessing from God to me. I have a philosophy in life. I've lived 71 years. And in the ministry now for 19 and a Christian for 50, almost 48, I've developed a philosophy about people and I've developed a philosophy about life. Every now and then, and I'm sure there are people here today who would agree with me, every now and then someone comes into your life that beyond any shadow of a doubt, they're going to impact your life. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, they're going to be very important to you, and they are going to make a difference in your life. That's what Margaret done for me. I know there are others here today who feel that way, and I could have a showing of hands, and many hands would go up. She was so special. And it's her faith that made her so special. This woman walked the walk. I never heard her say anything bad about anyone else. She always edified people. She always edified me. Every Friday between 1:15 and 1:30 in the afternoon, I would go to Marquee Place, knock on the door, and she'd say, come in, and I'd walk in, and she says, oh, I was hoping that was you. And we'd sit down. The time went so rapidly, you know, but we'd sit there for no less than an hour. We had to have at least an hour of fellowship together. And we talked about many things. And I'd walk away later on feeling so blessed to have known this woman. I'd walk away with two small Hershey bars. And there's a story behind that, and I'll get there here in a little bit. And I'd walk away feeling like one of the most blessed people on the earth. She was a gift from God to me. She was a gift from God to her family. She was a gift to God to her church family, a gift of God to everyone who would take the time to get to know her. This was a woman that demanded your respect. This was a woman that showed you how to live life. Edward D. Jones has a commercial on TV. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but it's this little old lady is she's retired and she's going with a hand glider, getting ready to go out with a hand glider, and she's swimming a triathlon and she's riding a motorcycle and all this little old lady. And then the caption is, "A life well lived." And in all honesty, folks, when I see that commercial on TV, I can't help but think about Margaret. She showed us how to live, how to be a genuine Christian, how to be a wonderful human being, how to love on everyone that came into her life. And I can honestly say, I wouldn't be the man I am today had it not been for Margaret Balk. That's how important she was to me and all of us who loved her. Margaret possessed a genuine faith in God. It was obvious in the way she lived out her life. She talked the talk and walked the walk while preparing for this service. But while preparing for this service, a scripture came to my mind that I felt described Margaret's walk with God quite well. And I'll read it for you. Being a preacher, naturally I'm going to connect her to the Word of God. See if this doesn't sound like Margaret. The writer of Hebrews says, "Since therefore, church, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through his own flesh and blood. Since we have a great priest over the household of God, let us draw near with sincere heart, with full assurance, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith and our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to good works and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We talked about that day. Sure, we talked a little bit about politics. Sure, we talked a little bit about, but we talked, it troubled Margaret to see the world in the shape that it's in. And she was concerned about America, and I'll get to that here in just a little bit as well. But we talked about all different kinds of things. But let me tell you, the one person we talked about the most was Jesus. Was Jesus. An invitation from God for salvation through Jesus Christ is also a command to become a servant of all. That's something we have to realize as Christians. You come to Jesus like Don sang. What a beautiful song. I had a hard time fighting back tears. You come to Jesus for salvation, and Jesus says, "Welcome to the kingdom. Now go serve." He said, "A servant is not greater than his master." He was a servant of all. He humbled himself even to death on a cross. You can't go any farther than that, than to give your no love as many man, greater love than any man than to give his life for his friends. And through the obituary that Pastor David read, it should have been obvious to everyone in here that Margaret embraced servanthood. She embraced servanthood. Margaret was what the Bible calls an overcomer. Revelation says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And whenever I was in the presence of Margaret, I knew I was in the presence of spiritual greatness and a true overcomer. Looking back, many Americans today believe that Margaret's generation is the greatest generation in America because of the adversity they dealt with at that time in America's history. If a person was alive during that time in history, she went through the Great Depression and the Second World War. And what her generation did for the world was just almost unbelievable. We spared the world from tyranny and a dictator. The Bible refers to people who were overcomers, and Margaret was an overcomer. She was a spiritual, physical, and emotional overcomer in many ways. She faced adversity in her life like any other human being. But it's obvious that she didn't succumb to it. It's obvious that she rose up in the power of the Lord and the strength of His might and overcame the adversity in her life. She had the opportunity to become bitter, resentful, unforgiving, and mean because of some of the things that happened to her. But I'm here to tell you, she was the opposite. She was the epitome of love. They overcame through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, I'm going to say a few things here that have been said already, but I'm going to get in a little deeper, okay? Margaret enjoyed and always enjoyed going to Woodward, Oklahoma to be with her family. She loved her family. That was evident by the way she talked about them. Every time she'd get back from a trip, before I go see her, I said, well, now I'm going to find out if she had a good time. And we'd sit there and I said, Margaret, did you have a good time? Oh, yes. Oh, it was wonderful. And then she'd relate what went on and what the good time that they had. Many of her cherished memories resulted from trips and family gatherings at Woodward. Today, I want to extend a huge thanks. You see, in coming to the hospital and spending time there with Margaret, I got to know three wonderful, beautiful women who loved Margaret probably more than I did. You heard from Barbara, Lynette, Cheryl, they were there. And we spent some time together, didn't we? We got to know one another a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And what I saw there, they don't know it, but there were many times when I fought back tears. I'm not trying to be super sensitive here, but it's the truth. As I watched them love on Margaret, I watched Lynette Seck the very last day sit by Margaret's bed and hold her hand. And one time I was sitting by Margaret's bed and holding her hand, trying to hold it together, and she was stroking my arm. And I had a hard time. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for the love that I saw from you to Margaret. Thank you for the love that overcame. You're wonderful. As a pastor, I can honestly say I don't see that very often. Even Pastor David will testify to that. Don't see that kind of love exemplified in families very often, but it's sure good to know that some still exist. One afternoon at the hospital, I was alone at the hospital with two of her nephews, Greg and Robert. And they described Margaret's competitive personality. You see, she was one of the scrappiest, spunkiest little old gals you will ever meet in your life. And they described to me her competitive personality. She was a tenacious opponent at darts and battleship and dominoes and any game she played for that matter. And I heard one of them say, I think it was Greg, the day she picked up a pool cue, which she hadn't played pool yet, the day she picked up a pool cue and began to mess around on the pool table was a day of fear and reckoning for all the rest of the pool players. And it changed their game, having Margaret a part of it. She enjoyed playing games, but was spunky little lady played to win. She played to win. At Marquee Place, Margaret played bingo on a regular basis, and she loved to play bingo, and she often won. And I was told by one of the gals there at Marquee while we were standing in the hallway at the hospital, the prize for winning a game of bingo was two small Hershey bars. When asked about her frequent wins, Margaret replied, "I need to win in order to get Hershey bars for Pastor Bob." Somehow, I don't remember when it was, but it's been a long time ago, the Hershey bar thing started. I always left there feeling blessed, feeling encouraged, feeling lifted up, and I left with two Hershey bars. Not three, just two. A woman does not come to be a Margaret Balk on her own power and will. This wonderful lady, who was a blessing to all who knew her well, was a product of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the point of salvation, Margaret Balch began to be conformed into the image of her Savior, Jesus Christ. She was a product under divine construction. She was truly clay in the potter's hand. When I visited Margaret, I knew I was in the presence of spiritual greatness, humility, and grace, because she never exemplified pride. Oh, how she blessed me by showing me how to live my life for Jesus. How one loves those around them and how to live humbly with their God. She talked about this day. We talked about this day not too long ago. And I can tell you with full assurance today, she was not afraid. She had prepared herself for this day. Are you preparing yourself for this day? Are you following her example and getting ready? Margaret was as ready as any Christian I have ever talked to. When you can talk about your funeral and talk about your passing from this world with a smile on your face, you're doing something. We talked about it often, and she looked forward to it. Like many here today, I have to confess that there will be a huge hole in my life. I mean that. I'm being sincere today. I'm not just gasping yours. Many here, there will be a huge hole in the life of this family, because they can't help but think that she was the life of the party. Right, Greg? She was the life of the party, and I'm sure no family gathering at Woodward would have been the same without Margaret. But will you covenant with me today when those times come? They'll come in my life. They'll come next Friday afternoon at 1:15. You know who I'm going to be thinking about and where I wish I was going. When you gather together for your family time, covenant with me to remember and never forget this wonderful woman that touched your life. I'm a better man today for knowing Margaret Ball. If I were to ask God, "Lord, what do you think? What do you think of Margaret Balch?" He would smile. He would smile big. Dawn's going to come and lead us in a congregational song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I'll have a closing prayer, and we'll dismiss and go to the cemetery.
There are hymnals underneath the pews or the chair in front of you. Please take one and turn to page 44 and stand together as we sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
Let's pray together this morning. Father, oh God, we thank you today. We join our hearts together today and in one voice in thanksgiving and praise to you, the God of all comfort, the Creator God. We thank you today for your gift to us of Margaret Balch. We thank you that she's run the race, she's finished the race, and she's there with you now, and she's seen your face. Undoubtedly, you've gotten a hug. Lord, thank you today for your wonderful gift to us, how she's touched our lives, how she's encouraged us, how she showed us how to live for you. Never let us forget what we've learned. Help us press on. Help us, Lord, to fill the vacuum that's going to be there because of her passing. Help us find someone else to love on. We bless you today. We honor you as God, the only true God. And we thank you for meeting with us in this sanctuary. This was where Margaret, for a season, worshiped you. Lord, her memory will live on with each of us that knew her well, because we know that we were in the presence of greatness. We were in the presence of a person who was clay in your hands. We know she's with you, and we thank you for her salvation. May each one of us here today, Lord, evaluate our lives. Maybe hold our lives up against the life that we saw lived before us through Margaret. May we ask ourselves today, are we right with God? Are we ready for our day? Have we prepared ourselves for the journey ahead? Father, help us find salvation in Jesus. Help us find the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege I have had to know Margaret and to be loved and nourished by her. In Jesus' name, amen.